A discussion on the future of nursing education. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and this is a very special episode. I've been meaning to put this in the rotation for quite some time. It's a panel discussion recorded over at Insights in Nursing back in last fall, and it was a discussion and panel with educators from around the country in all sorts of educational institutions associated with nursing. And the focus was talking about the future of nursing education. What does the profession have in store? What kind of things are going to be expected of nurses in the coming years as far as minimum entry-level degrees and things like that? So we had a great discussion with a variety of panelists. And if you haven't checked out Insights in Nursing, the other podcast that we produce and have panel discussions on a weekly basis, you might want to check that out over at insightsinnursing.com. Of course, you'll find links to all of that and the links to information about our panelists in this episode and other information about nursing education, all available for you over at the Nursing Show website, nursingshow.com. And of course, I urge you to get back in touch with me and let me know what you think of some of the comments that the panelists had in this episode. And you can do that by sending those emails in to nursingshow@gmail.com. So we'll be getting into that discussion, again, from Insights in Nursing podcast that we had last fall with nursing educators here in just a sec. I think I've brought a pretty good panel together to kind of represent several different viewpoints on this particular topic. I'll start off at the top of my list here, and no particular order, but the list on my conference call here. Christy Dreyer is here, and some of you may remember Christy in an interview from a year or so ago talking about some issues in nursing education on my other show, The Nursing Show. And Christy was on talking about that. She is the director of the nursing program at Cecil College in Northeast Maryland. And Christy is also one of my former nursing instructors when I was in nursing school. So it's always great to have Christy on the show. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jamie. Glad to be here.
I also have Susan Binden, who is a senior consultant in education development at LifeBridge Health, and that's at several hospitals in the Baltimore region. She's located primarily at Sinai Hospital, but she provides services for all three hospitals in the LifeBridge Health setting. And so, Susan, I'm glad you were able to get on the show, and I am looking forward to you kind of bringing a perspective from the workplace and what educational challenges you all are facing.
Thank you, Jamie, very much.
We also have Kim McAllister, one of our regular panelists here on Insights in Nursing. Of course, you know her from emergeblog.com, and Kim is always here to share her viewpoints, and it's always good to have you back. Welcome back, Kim.
Thank you, Jamie.
And finally, Joan Stanley. And Joan, I was really glad to be able to bring Joan on the show. She is the Senior Director of Education Policy at the American Association of Colleges of Nursing, AACN. Wanted me to make sure I pointed out this is the other AACN, not the American Association of Critical Care Nurses, but this is the American Association of Colleges of Nursing. And recently I was in contact with some folks at Johnson & Johnson's Campaign for Nursing's Future, and Rebecca over there was able to put me in touch with Joan, and we're very excited to have her on the call. So Joan, welcome to Insights in Nursing.
Thank you, Jamie. I look forward to this conversation.
Well, I am really looking forward to it, too. So let's jump right in. And I think, first off, I'd like to start with you, Joan, and talk a little bit about what you think some of the unique challenges are we're facing as far as moving and advancing people to higher degree levels in the nursing field right now. I know there's a big move to increase the minimum standard for nurse practitioners and bring that level up to a doctoral program. Do you think that is progressing? Is that something that you see colleges across the country moving towards as they implement more programs for advanced practice and also for providing educators?
Yeah, well, that's a huge question. And let me go back to your original statement, and that was, what are some of the challenges that we face for nursing education? You know, AACN, we have participated in and taken a leadership role in a dialogue with multiple stakeholders, both in nursing education, practice, and outside the profession for over 10 years. And some of the challenges, if you look at what we're preparing our future graduates for, and the demands for nursing, if you look at the complexity of the system, the increasing biomedical knowledge, the changes in technology, the increased focus on system practice, interprofessional practice, and all the other growing areas like genetics and environmental science, population health, just to name a few, you know, we're looking at ways that nursing education can prepare people to address these needs. So we have really looked at advancing all levels of nursing education, from the baccalaureate level and looking at what those individuals for entry level need, at the master's level, and then, as you mentioned, for advanced practice nursing, advancing that level of education to the doctoral level or a professional doctorate, which we have designated as the Doctor of Nursing Practice, or the DNP. And that movement all across those levels is occurring. We've created new standards for baccalaureate education and for the DNP, and are currently looking at master's education. If you want an update on the DNP movement, I can provide that. You know, they're over just in the last couple years, there are now 120 programs that are offering DNP degrees for advanced practice nurses and others in advanced nursing areas of practice. So we definitely see this movement occurring.
And I did pull up some information, and I'll actually provide links to some of these things I'm discussing in the show notes later on when this episode's released this Friday. But back in May, the Tri-Council for Nursing put out a press release on new consensus policy statement for educational advancement of registered nurses. And really, you know, I think you're referring to some of the issues that were talked about in that document. Looking at the increased complexity required to provide minimum care, and that it's not just a requirement to advance the higher education levels, but also to really encourage nurses at all levels to advance in degree.
Correct. And if you would like, I mean, I'd be willing to share additional information or facts or links to information about any of the education programs, the standards, information about DNP and the statistics as we look forward to moving education programs forward.
Okay, well, we definitely, I always love to get additional links to information, and I will provide, of course, links to the AACN site and lots of the information that I have here that I found when I was getting ready for the show. But it certainly, I agree with you. I think that we need to continue to educate. Of course, continuing education is part of most nursing programs in at the state nurse practice Act level, where there is some educational requirement or some clinical requirement. But what you're really focusing on, moving and advancing your degree level and really encouraging people to move forward and move to from associate's degree to bachelor's degree, move from bachelor's degree to master's degree, and so on. Is it realistic to think that more nurses will move on to a master's degree level when that may not be required for the job in which they find themselves?
Well, we hope so. I think that nurses are always concerned about providing the best care they can for their patients and improving, you know, their own lifelong learning. And I think that within this current healthcare system, when we look at the needs and what the expectations are for nursing, and we also look at the opportunities for nursing, if you look at what's happening, the changes with reform or the evolution of the healthcare system, with accountable care organizations, with increased focus on primary care, increased focus on population health, across the board, nursing can meet those demands if we have enough nurses prepared with the expertise and knowledge, and I think that's what we need to do. So I think nurses will be attracted and other individuals coming back into the profession, coming into nursing. One of the fastest growing types of programs is for individuals who come back and get a master's or a second baccalaureate degree. That have had graduate degrees in other fields or baccalaureate degrees. So we see that as a tremendous growth in nursing, so that the recognition that there is our opportunities in nursing, that we need to continue to advance our education, that we can fill many of the roles that are in demand there for patient-centered care. So I think across the board, I think there's a growing awareness not only by the public but also by nurses themselves that we need to keep going back and advancing our education and that there are all these opportunities for us.
Kim, I'm going to jump over to you next because you are a nurse that you were a nurse as an RN for a long period of time before you decided to move on and get your BSN. Did you find that the educational resources were there for you when you decided to move forward, and are they there as you continue to look at advancing your degree?
They were definitely there when I was looking into getting my BSN after almost 30 years as an associate degree nurse. And part of it was the fact that there were RN to BSN programs that were online that were extremely flexible so that I was able to complete the requirements without having to go to the classical, classroom. I did do clinical. I did my clinic locally, even though my university was actually the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. But their program was absolutely wonderful, and I did not have to look very long before I found them. I had decided, let me look at online nursing programs. I think I looked at Thomas Edison University in New Jersey. The second one I looked at was University of Wisconsin, and it was like snap. It was just perfect. It was a wonderful curriculum. The instructors, professors were fantastic. I got more out of that program than I even expected. And it's hard to... A lot of it was intangible. It's just me as a registered nurse, how I now perceive the profession and how I approach my patients. I would never have expected it to be as different as it is, from being an associate degree to having my bachelor's degree. And I try to explain to people that you really should do this. You'll be amazed at your personal growth, your professional growth. And a lot of what I hear is there's no reason for me to do that. I'm not going to get any promotion. I'm not going to get any increase in pay. I'm not going to get any change in my responsibilities. So why would I spend all that time and money to get a degree that's not going to further my education or, further me professionally? And it's really not that. It's worth it. I can't speak to the BSN to master's jump, although that's my next step. Because I haven't been there yet. But going from ADN to BSN was unbelievable change in just my entire perspective of the nursing profession. Like I said, a lot of that's intangible and it doesn't necessarily show up in my paycheck. There is a standing joke that the higher degree you get, the less money you make. But I think that's true of other professions also.
I think, Jamie, this is Christy. I think Kim makes a really interesting point and offers a fantastic testimonial that any education you get upon from your basic degree becomes so much more relevant and valuable as you go on. I was a BSN nurse, and when I went on to my master's, I can pretty much parallel everything Kim has said from my BSN to my master's. So I think it's the relevance and the context of going on in nursing. I think we have 60% of our workforce in the U.S. is ADN prepared. And if you go to rural areas, we're looking at over 70% of our workforce. So I think if we want to impact nursing, we've got to find ways to make it accessible and valuable and worthwhile to go from RN to BSN. And We're working on the access. A lot of schools have articulation agreements, and Kim, I'm happy to hear that about Wisconsin Green Bay. We have one with them. I think they're a wonderful organization. But I also think that the environment, the workforce environment, has to catch up. There's not a lot. That's where some of the pressure is going to come then for nurses to move on. They're going to have to catch up and demonstrate to nurses that they value BSN. You could argue that the magnet designation does that, and I think it contributes to it, but the individual is going to want to know, why should I do this? I think we can all talk about the increased knowledge and the value and all the intangibles, and I think that's great, and I think that will convince some people, but I think the workforce has to catch up. We have to have, if we're going to require increased education, we've got to value it.
Well, this is Joan, and, you know, the American Organization of Nurse Execs have now come out with a statement. They're part of the Tri-Council, and they support the baccalaureate and higher graduate degrees. There are a number of reports coming out. Benner's and her team's work for the Carnegie Foundation, their report on the future of nursing and their support for baccalaureate education as a minimum for the profession and for moving on for a master's within 10 years. So we're getting more and more evidence and support for advancing nursing education. So I think I agree that we need to partner with practice, both education and practice, to value and to encourage nurses to go back and to get higher degrees. And hopefully then as this movement gains more energy, you will see more employers recognizing the value and supporting that both with salary and other benefits mm-hmm. as they look at the outcomes.
And I agree. There is some interesting work out there, identifying BSN, but there are also some other studies that identify there is no difference between ADN and BSN as entry into practice. So I agree. I'm all for education. I promote it. You only benefit from more. But I think that, you know, we have to find other ways to deal with the fact that, you know, 60% of our workforce is coming from ADN programs. And if you know, the NLN supports multiple entry levels into practice. And as an ADN educator, I'm thrilled to hear that. But I think that we need to look at ways to support ADN graduates. It's not going away. It can't. It's too large of a workforce, but we need to find ways to make it easy and accessible to go on, because I agree, it's very valuable that they go on.
One of the resources that I get calls and emails all the time from nurses and looking to go on, and not that I promote any one particular resource, but we refer individuals to Peterson's Guide to Nursing Programs, and there's a 2010 edition, and in the back, there is a list of programs that offer distance education programs, and you can crosswalk that list with the other list of types of programs, whether they be baccalaureate or RN to BSN or even RN to MSN. And that was one of the other areas that I wanted to mention, that when individuals who may have an associate degree or a diploma degree are interested in looking at their education, there are many programs that are designed to prepare you to earn a master's degree. You get the baccalaureate competencies as you go along, but you come out with a master's degree. So that may be even more beneficial to someone's career, and I would encourage people to look at that type of education program and articulation as well.
That's an excellent resource. And I would also encourage people to go back to their associate degree school where they got their original degree, because almost every associate degree program I know of has multiple articulation agreements to make it much easier for the graduate to go on to get their BSN and or MSN. Almost every community college I know at least has one, and I know many have multiple. So I would encourage people to do that also as a resource.
I'd like to jump in here real quick, because you both brought up, both Christy and Joan brought up issues with the workforce, really the our employers moving forward in promoting and encouraging BSN programs and BSN degrees in the workplace. And I'm happy to have Susan on to talk about some of this, because I think that this is an issue for hospitals, especially hospitals looking for magnet status as in some or all of their facilities. And is this do you see a movement towards encouraging more BSNs in the hospital setting?
Yeah, thank you, Jamie. I do, as a matter of fact. Our organization, we're lucky that we have everything from long-term care, chronic hospital, to a level 2 trauma center. So there is a place for every kind of nurse, from LPN up to PhD. That being said, we do always encourage, wherever you are, to go to the next level. We're very involved with tuition reimbursement. A large part of what I do is a lot of scouting of programs and providing information and having schools on site and kind of facilitating registration. If an adult learner is afraid or have never entertained online learning, we try to help with that. So we really do try to make it as easy as possible and as almost an expectation that you will move to the next level. So I can definitely speak for LifeBridge that that's part of our kind of mission and part of what we do. And on the school's part, they've done a terrific job, someone mentioned, of making it flexible, very adult learner oriented, less rigid as far as dropping in, dropping out. So it's been a wonderful kind of partnership. And speaking of partnership, there's also opportunity sometimes for exchanges of expertise or time or space to make that kind of partnership more solid between the hospitals and the schools. So I think it's I definitely see a movement towards the next level of education.
That's some of what I was talking about, Jamie. This is Christy. I think, and I think that's, and I'm having talked with Susan before, I know that's what happens. That's what I'm talking about. You need a culture in a facility that promotes education. That's how you're going to have nurses go on, regardless of the level we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I was talking about. You need that form of culture. It's just the expectation. You will grow, you will learn, and mm-hmm. we will all be better because of it. That's key.
Now that all of that being said, one of our hospitals is Magnet. Sinai is a Magnet hospital, and we hire only bachelor's prepared nurses. But again, there's a place for every level of entry in the organization. And it's almost like Christy said, it's that environment, that kind of expectation that what's next. And we try to help make that happen.
Let's move forward a little bit, and we've talked about entry level, and we've talked a little bit about advanced degree programs, but none of this happens in a vacuum. We need educators, and one of the biggest challenges we consistently hear about is the need for more educators, and not just in a lecture setting, but clinical advisors in the hospital setting as well. And what can we do to encourage more people to become educators and associate with a local program that will allow them to provide some, you know, we're all nurses are educators. We all are trained to teach our patients and help people understand things. So it seems like a natural progression that we'd want to share our knowledge with students as well. And so I guess the challenge that I'm asking about is, and I guess I'll start with Joan, where can we provide more encouragement for people to become nurse educators, whether it's at the very basic level as a clinical instructor or assistant, all the way up to becoming lecturers and really fully involved as a full-time educator in a program?
Thank you. I think this gets back to some of the culture and the early kind of mindset of working with our students. We're encouraging more and more programs to begin very on, at the very beginning of their education, whether it be their baccalaureate degree or even as they're recruiting them into a baccalaureate or master's program, to encourage students to think about moving on for higher degrees, whether they be master's or DNP or PhD, and moving them through much more quickly. I think we have traditionally in nursing have encouraged the thinking that well, you have to get a degree and then you have to work for so many years and then you have to get another degree and then you have to work for so many years and you move on. And then by the time you actually get around to earning a graduate degree, particularly a doctoral degree, you know, you're fairly along in your career and age as well. That limits your career life. So we're encouraging schools to not only encourage students to move on, but to kind of accelerate the transition from one degree to another. And the number of doctoral students has increased. It's continued to increase over the years. But we also see a significant role and need for individuals with master's degrees, particularly with particular areas of clinical preparation or practice that can educate students in the clinical and the didactic area. So one is this culturization of getting students to move on and to think about sharing their knowledge. The other thing is support. We all know, as somebody mentioned before, if you go on and you get a faculty position or you advance your education and you move out of the practice setting, you make less in most situations. So we need to look at that and have more incentives for individuals to take faculty positions, maybe joint appointments between education and practice, support from practice, opportunities to maintain one's practice and gain and maintain your expertise, but then also to teach. So I think we need to do more partnering. We need to do more encouragement of our students. And also there are opportunities now at the federal level. There are more funds to support master's and doctoral education for individuals who want to go on and pursue faculty or higher degrees. So we do see a number of things on the forefront or now available, but we need to continue to encourage that.
I'd like to find out a little bit more about, Kim, I'll throw this out to you. What your thoughts are, as I know you're applying to move on to a master's program or possibly even a doctoral program. Do you find that the program access is there to the level that you found when you were looking for your bachelor's degree?
It is there. My concern with what I've been looking for, I luckily live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so there are a ton of opportunities to increase my my degree. I've got UCSF nearby. A lot of the Cal State universities are nearby. The higher you go, it gets a little bit harder to find the flexibility that you. It was easy when I was going RN to BSN to find the flexibility. It's a little bit easier when you go up to BSN to master's. I am finding some state university-based online programs with local clinicals. But when you get to the PhD level, then I personally am a little bit concerned about the online programs for RN to PhD. There are a few out there. I just have, because I'm not as familiar with that level of education, that I'm a little leery of doing an online PhD program. I would think that you miss a lot of the camaraderie, a lot of the I'm really not sure what I'm trying to say or what I'm missing. I'm afraid that the RN to PhD programs, I would miss something that I would get in a physical PhD, RN to PhD program. So I see they're out there. They're extremely expensive. And I would, while I'm comfortable getting my master's via this one particular online program through Cal State Dominguez Hills, I am a little bit leery about using the online, the 100% online experience to go all the way up to a PhD. And that just may be my own lack of knowledge of what those programs are like. But I do know that they are extremely, extremely expensive once you get to the PhD level.
Yeah, this is Joan. I would encourage you to, one, talk to the schools and look at potential resources both at the state and the federal level. Unfortunately, with the economic situation, and I understand in California the economic situation is not good, But I would encourage you to talk. There are graduate assistantships and teaching assistantships and also federal support. If you promise to go on and pursue a faculty degree, and particularly in the San Francisco area, there is monies from a foundation, the Gordon Moore and Betty Moore Foundation,
yep,
that are supporting faculty if you're interested in becoming. So there are opportunities. And there is a increasing awareness that we need faculty so that more and more foundations and the federal government are supporting individuals who will commit to teach for so many years. As far as the online programs, I agree. I've never attended a distance education program as a student. I've talked to many individuals. I've talked to many faculty. And actually, many faculty and students say that there is a great camaraderie, and you develop a cohort because you have such many interactions online. However, most of the programs that I'm familiar with do require individuals to come on site at least once to four times a year so that you have that opportunity over an extended period, let's say a long weekend or a week, to develop that cohesiveness among your students and to share. But that I do believe, from what I've heard of faculty and students, that you are able to develop that, and in some ways the interaction is even more so when you're working online.
I did find that with my RN to BSN program. And I did find there was an unbelievable amount of interaction. I'm just concerned because I don't know what I don't know, so to speak, if that is possible to get that in an online PhD program. If it is, then I'm thrilled, because that would be a fantastic way for me to be able to fit that education into my lifestyle, which I think is one of the main reasons why people don't think they can or don't want to try to get that higher degree.
I would say a couple things. One is, I think that something we haven't really talked too much about, which you probably need to, is that many students don't want to take a course online, because it's not just an age thing. There are a lot of students who'd rather have it in person, and I think that's something that we need to think about as a profession, creating opportunities either for hybrid courses or for courses in person, taking them actually to people. Having been a graduate student and currently enrolled in a DNP program at the University of Maryland, I would be very uncomfortable, having done it both ways, taking classes totally online, totally in person, and hybrid, comfortable with all of them, but I would strongly encourage you to look at a hybrid program. I think that in-person component is key for some of the development. I really do. I've taken online. I've had some very good online courses, but it's just not the same. So I think a hybrid course or hybrid program is often mixes the best of both worlds.
Kim, you were going to say something?
I was going to agree, actually.
Right.
Okay.
I was going to echo exactly what Christy just said. I've experienced all three, and while they're different, a lot of the nurses here who may be hesitant to take an online, I would say probably at least 80% are pleasantly surprised. Two things, they say, boy, it's harder than I thought it would be. I think sometimes online people make an assumption, right or wrong, that it's easier, but that's not the case. And also they found that they did kind of develop at least a conversation buddy throughout the semester. And there may even be a group project where people do get to know each other and have to meet for coffee and notes and whatnot. So I think Christy's advice is good. Put your toe in the water and see what works best for you. And there are lots and lots of options. So it's good.
Does the scope of options cause problems with perceptions that a nursing degree or an advanced nursing degree is easy to get? Now, I know none of us think that, but because we've all been through nursing education at one level or another, and we know how hard it is, but there and I'm going to bring out a blog article I found here, and I sent the link to all of you by email just now because I just found it, but I'm going to go ahead and read some portions of it. It's from the Happy Hospitalist blog. And this is a physician blogging about issues in healthcare. But the title of this article is Nursing Education Requirements Shaping the Future of Healthcare, of are shaping the future of healthcare. And it's because of an advertisement he saw advertising an easy DNP or MSN degree. And here's his key point. No entrance exam required, no clinical experience, no thesis required. What is this world coming to? These are professionals who are going to be taking care of patients in less than 2 years. Some states allow nurse practitioners to manage patients independently with no physician oversight. This is just plain scary. Now, without getting into the doctor-nurse debate, because I know if I let Kim go, she'll just run all over this.
I was ready.
I know. Well,
Kim, I'm right there with you. This is Christina.
We understand that there are some issues. There are some alternative motives here, talking about physicians and nurse practitioners and the practice requirements in different areas. But are there too many ways to advance our education? Are we appropriately accrediting all of these programs? And is it difficult for a student to find out which programs are on the up and up? Because sometimes I think some of these programs don't seem to be the best opportunity for a student.
I absolutely agree with you. And as long as we're going to see ads, like I don't know anything about Creighton University, nothing. But as long as we're going to see ads that tell you how wonderfully easy it is to do this, no GRE, really? That's interesting. No thesis required, really? Either they're being disingenuous and they have an equivalency type of thing that is equivalent to a thesis, like a practice, sort of practice project. But as long as we're seeing ads that how wonderfully easy, look how easy it is. You don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. And new graduates encouraged to apply. Well, that perception is going to be out there. New graduates encouraged to apply. Well, that's wonderful. But you don't want to be somebody who never gets out of school and never gets any real world clinical experience. You don't have to write a thing. It makes it seem, and as much as happy drives me right up the wall on a regular basis, this ad, if you're looking at this specifically, looks like, hey, come on, you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. We'll make it easy to get you in and look at you. You're going to have your MSN or your DNP with hardly any requirements. That's what I see when I read this. So I wouldn't look twice at this university. Personally.
This is Joan, and there have always been outliers, in any discipline or programs where you see ads and somebody can pull them. However, as the past speaker, I would strongly encourage any prospective student to seriously look at the program and look at what they're preparing you for. When we first passed the position for the Doctor of Nursing Practice, we saw several programs that opened up, and I think I don't know if that's one of them, but there were several where we saw advertisements, kind of like the down and dirty, quick, get your degree. But now that we're moving towards, there is an accreditation mechanism established for the baccalaureate, the master's, and now the DNP programs. And so I would encourage students to look to see, are the programs accredited by either the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education, CCNE, which is the autonomous arm of AACN, or the National League for Nursing Accreditation Commission. If a program is accredited by one of the specialty nursing accrediting bodies, then they have been reviewed extensively and have met certain criteria. The concern is that some of these ads say accredited, but you have to look to see who they're accredited by and who's really gone in and looked at the program and what they're preparing you for.
This is Christy, and I strongly agree. That's the first thing I start telling my students. You have to know that it's accredited and by whom, and that's key. This makes me sad because there's so many outstanding, rigorous programs out there that we all know it's not easy. So it does make me sad when you see this.
You know, it's interesting because this happens at a lot of different levels, both an entry level for nursing as well as all the way up the chain. I see it all the time. I'm also, for those of you that don't know, I'm also a paramedic, and I came into nursing after years as a paramedic. And so I looked at a lot of different ways to become a nurse, and eventually opted to go through a more traditional college setting. But I now caution people that contact me on how can I become a nurse? I'm a paramedic, and I'm looking in online programs for this or for that. And I one of the things I caution them all the time is you really need to look very carefully, and you need to find out if your state board of nursing is going to allow you to test for your license at the end of the day when you go through this particular program, whatever that online program may be. So it's it is a problem at all levels, and unfortunately, there's no. I guess I'll throw this out there. Is there a single location where someone can go where I could send someone to find out is this program an accredited program?
Well, most of the schools post it on their website who they're accredited by. But if you go to either of the websites for the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education or NLNAC, they post the schools that they have accredited on their website. So it is available to the public.
This has been a great discussion, and I'm going to bring up one more topic really quickly here because I know, Christy, you're in the process of working towards your doctorate degree this time, and I believe, Susan, you are as well.
So that's right.
What is your thought as you are moving on to that level of education, as you look at the other students that are in the classes with you? Do you get a sense that they really are excited about where they're moving in the future of nursing?
Susan, you want to go first?
Sure. I absolutely think they're excited, and it's contagious. It's a high level, high energy, high talent group with big dreams. And the program I'm in is DNP, so it's people who are actually doing projects and planning to move ahead and use evidence and use research and really get it to the nurses at the bedside. So I think it's a tremendously exciting program and talented group.
I'm going to have to just agree with everything. It's the simplest thing without being too wordy. It's invigorating to be around other people who are excited about nursing. And from, working at the bedside right up to conducting research. It's challenging and invigorating. I will admit frustrating at times, but mostly just incredibly positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just add that, we need research-focused graduates, individuals prepared with a PhD in nursing who can advance the nursing science, advance the knowledge of nursing. But we also need individuals prepared at the practice doctorate level who are prepared at the highest level, who really can make a difference on the practice areas. The individual who just spoke and was talking about, being contagious and making a difference at the practice level. Some of the projects that we're seeing coming out of some of the DNP programs are phenomenal, and employers are really looking for these graduates. They're making a difference, whether it's in quality improvement, whether it's in guidelines for practice, implementing evidence into practice, making changes within the way practice is delivered in a variety of settings. So it is very exciting when you hear about what is occurring with our first DNP graduates.
Well, I'd like to wrap up here, and I'd like to give each of you kind of an opportunity to share a final thought about nursing education, and maybe just a short piece of advice to someone considering moving forward from whichever level they find themselves in nursing. And I'll start, Joan, I'll just go ahead and let you take off here. Thank you for being on the show, but what would you share with nurses that are listening to this show about what you think they should be considering with regards to advancing their education?
Well, thank you, Jamie. I think I mentioned it at the beginning, but I think the take-home message should be for nurses to think it really is an exciting opportunity. if we look at the changes that are being made and the things that are going on, if we list what's happening, nursing can really make a difference, and we can meet many of these challenges and needs if we have the preparation. So I would encourage us to step up, to think about moving on. We cannot do it, and we cannot be at the table if we don't have the preparation that we say we have and that we're able to meet them. So I think I would look at it as being an exciting opportunity, multiple options for different kinds of preparation, different practice areas, different kinds of roles, both at the baccalaureate, the master's, and the doctoral level, both in the DNP, the PhD. So I think nursing, we've always been open for innovation, for allowing people to create opportunities. And I think that we need to continue and step up and take hold of those opportunities.
Great. Thanks very much, Joan. And let's move on to Kim. Kim, is it ever too late to go back to school and move on to another degree? I know you're going to say, no, of course not. But what would you say to that nurse that's just not sure that she's up to going back and getting her bachelor's or moving on to her master's or doctorate program?
If you wait until and wait for it to be the perfect time in the perfect situation, it'll never happen. When I sent in my application to Green Bay, I had butterflies in my stomach like nobody's business. And had I waited until I felt absolutely, positively sure that this is what I was going to do, I never would have done it. You have to kind of sort of take a leap of faith and at least get started. You can start with one class. You can start with just one step. And that was my plan, just a little bit at a time. Well, that didn't last very long. I was in it full bore by the second semester because it works. But I would say just do it. Even if you can't get into, or you don't think you can get into a nursing program per se, or you don't want to necessarily commit to that, if you have an associate's degree, you have a lot of general education type requirements that you may not have over the years, you may not have satisfied. So, if you're afraid of taking that statistics class, just go take the statistics class at a local college. Take that one step or do it one at a time, and you'll find once you get into it that you get, my God, I did that. And then all of a sudden it'll just snowball and you'll be getting it. And no, it's never too late. I was 49 when I started and 52 when I graduated. And I did it in 3 years, and it was a comfortable pace. So if I'm lucky, I'll be 56 when my master's comes, and I'll be the oldest PhD student on record probably, but it'll happen.
Susan, what about those nurses? We have nurse leaders, managers listening to the show, as well as people at nursing at facilities that maybe are not very encouraging of advancing their degree. What would you say to a facility that is struggling with the efficacy of applying some sort of tuition reimbursement or providing encouragement, at least for their nurses to move forward in their education?
That's a great question. I think, first of all, I would say it would be a phenomenal opportunity for those nurse leaders to role model to their staff, to be the first one in line to sign up for one class, that statistics class. Great opportunity to role model. Also, to try to make the business case for the return on the investment, whether it's more retention, more participation in committees, more people stepping up to precept or do in-servicing on the unit or start that journal club and just kind of create the atmosphere that return on the investment is going to be evident. And again, I'm going to use the word contagious again, but once those nurse leaders can start that kind of sensation and peer pressure, I guarantee that it will spread. And the time it takes to maybe change schedules around or tweak staffing a bit here and there will pay off in spades. That's what I would love to get across to nurse leaders.
Thank you very much, Susan.
Sure.
Christy, last and certainly not least, I just want to just throw out my plug here for Cecil College. You foster an amazing sense of education and really encourage students at all levels to finish their associate's degree and then move forward and provide those opportunities in a variety of ways. And I just want to thank you for continuing to encourage students. What is a thought that you might share with that diploma RN, that associate's degree nurse who just doesn't know if they want to go back and go through all that school again because it's still fresh in their mind?
I would say for regardless of that or entry level, look for a program that fits you. There is one out there. If you like doing it in person, there are cohort groups to do that. If you want online, do that. There are programs out there. I'll go back to what Kim said. Just start with a class. You'll be amazed how quickly you can chip away at things. And I would strongly encourage, and it's the philosophy in our program from day one, this is a wonderful milestone in a career, but it is not an end point. Any degree you get doesn't have to be the end point. You can keep going and going. And I think that's, if you view that sort of philosophy, people are more likely to go on. I think that you look for the fit for yourself and you celebrate every single step and milestone, but there's always a new goal.
Great. And Christy, we'll just pick up here and thank you very much for being on the show. It's always great to have
you
on,
Jamie.
And look forward to collaborating with you on other projects here in the future.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you for having me.
And cecil.edu is the site where people can find out more about Cecil College. If you're in the northeastern Maryland, Delaware, southeastern Pennsylvania area, you can check out Cecil College.
Thanks for the plug.
No problem. That's what I do. And Susan, I want to thank you as well for being on the show. Susan, who is the Senior Consultant Education Development for LifeBridge Health in Baltimore, Maryland, at Sinai Hospital. But there are also two other hospitals in the group. Can you tell us which two hospitals they are?
I'd love to. Thank you. We have Sinai Hospital of Baltimore, Northwest Hospital, which is in Randallstown, and Levendale Geriatric Center, which is also here in Baltimore City.
Great. And Susan, thanks very much for being on the show. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Jamie.
And Joan, really appreciate you sticking with me and providing the information and impetus to look at some of the advancing of degree programs out there. And you are the Senior Director of Education Policy at the American Association of Colleges of Nursing. That is one of the AACNs out there. But Joan, thanks a lot for being on the show. And we look forward maybe to having you back on in a future episode.
Thank you, and I would look forward to that.
And last but not least, Kim McAllister, one of our regular panelists here and host and writer, author of the Emergia blog at emergiablog.com. Kim, thanks so much. I'm glad you were able to make it on the show this week and share your thoughts.
Well, thanks, Jamie. It was a lot of fun.
And I hope you enjoyed that segment from Insights in Nursing. You know, it's great fun to do that show, and I hope you will check it out over at insightsinnursing.com. In the meantime, don't forget to keep in touch here with Nursing Show by visiting the website, nursingshow.com, and checking out the links in the show notes to everything discussed in each episode. You can find that over at nursingshow.com, and you'll find a link for the show notes right at the top of the page. You can also get back in touch with me and let me know what your comments are specifically by sending in those comments, those suggestions, and yes, if I make any mistakes, corrections, in to nursingshow@gmail.com, or you can always leave them on the comments link at the bottom of any of the show notes or any other articles over at nursingshow.com. You click that link and leave a comment there. It'll actually send me an email, so it'll be just the same as shooting me an email directly, and I'll be able to comment back, and we'll have a little bit of a public comment conversation with the rest of the visitors at Nursing Show checking out our comments and perhaps sharing their own. So you can do that as well. Don't forget, you can also catch up with me over at Facebook and Twitter, twitter.com/podmedic and facebook.com/podmedic, and continue to check out and become a fan of the Nursing Show fan page, facebook.com/nursingshow. Just click the like button at the top of the page and you can become a fan of the Nursing Show on Facebook. We're approaching 1,000 fans over there, and I'd like you to be one of the first 1,000 fans over at the Facebook fan page. We're going to close out the show without any extra music since we had that long panel discussion in this episode, but I will urge you to come back next week, check out each episode of The Nursing Show as it comes out every Friday for you, and I look forward to sharing other episodes. We've got some segments coming up in a series that I'll be producing over the next few months on commonly prescribed meds. What are some of the most common meds we see in our patients? And we'll start with looks at the top meds for each age group of our patients, and then we'll also talk about some of the subcategories in those medications as well. So look forward to that series starting here soon. That's it for me. I will urge you to remember to keep in touch here and follow The Nursing Show. And in the meantime, stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.